Good evening, everybody. Welcome to First Wednesday here at Eagles Way Church. If you haven't sat down yet, you have to come up to the front here because we're so spread out.
That we would like for you to come up here. Bad. Come on. Come closer.
Just kidding. It would be nice, though.
Come closer.
Again, we'd just like to welcome you here tonight. This is our fourth, maybe, time that we've done this so far.
And May, June, July, August. Four times.
It is... It's been good. Been good. I'm glad you're here. It's a good time. We're just going to stand together. We're going to worship. We got some songs to sing and some good songs. But however your week's going, just don't think about it right now. Just think about the God that we love and the God that we serve, that through all that time, he's there with us through it all. So let's stand and let's sing.
Take it all, my life in yours. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can give you all that we have, Lord, and that you will take it from us and help us to have peace, give us direction, God. We just thank you so much. Thank you. Don't you love the thought of God becoming your everything, knowing He is your everything, but when you really become aware that God, you are my everything, and He is enough. He is enough. He is enough. He is enough. And He's more than enough. He fills us with so much goodness and so much love. Mercy for so many things when I deserve worse. And grace for so many things that is just completely unmerited favor. Because He loves us so incredibly much. And you know, sometimes you got to get still and you got to get quiet. And you got to get alone with Him and just hear Him whisper in your ear. And you've got to remind yourself of how much He loves you and how much love you're surrounded with. And when you do, and you become aware again of that love for you, it just changes you in that moment. And you realize again, He's enough. He's enough. He's enough. Amen.
He is jealous for me. His love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me.
Are for me. Yes, He loves us. And I-
James 4. This is the Message translation. And it says, "Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. It says, take the mercy, and it says, accept the help. That we can walk right up to him because we have full access to him and get what he is so ready, so eager to give. And any moment, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what yesterday looked like, no matter what your past looks like, but he is so ready and so eager for you to walk right up to him and to give you exactly what you need. Because he's so good. He's so good.
Saving us, we tell you that.
We thank you for your presence, for your Holy Spirit, God, that dwells within us, that dwells among us, Lord. And we just enter in tonight, Lord, into everything you have for us. Thank you, Father, for eyes to see you and ears to hear you. And for a spirit, Lord, who knows you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. There, Keith, before you sit down, and there's a walking stick in the sound booth out there, one of Jim's. Would you bring that to me, please? All right, how's everybody? I want to share something with you tonight, what I call a hidden truth, and let me explain what a hidden truth is. I mean, know that there are, let me give you a scripture. Proverbs is a scripture. It says that it's the glory of God to hide something. It's an honor, but it's the glory of king, honor of kings to find it. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to dig it out and find it. When the earth was first created, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, the diamonds, they were just scattered over the earth. You could see them anywhere. They were easy to find. And after the fall, something happened. We don't know scripturally how this happened, but we know now that it's happened, that you don't find gold and silver and precious stones and diamonds just scattered on top of the ground. We wish we could do that. I wish we could do that, don't you? You just go gather them up. There are people, though, who spend their lifetime searching for treasures. There are people who go out on the ocean every day, and they'll spend days and months and years searching for buried treasure in the depths of the sea. And every now and then, they find one, and it's pretty amazing to watch, and they gather all those precious jewels together. Well, the scripture's like that. There's things that are hidden, and you don't just get them by not searching for them. You know, you don't get anything worth anything without searching for it, without digging for it. I think that's what God meant in Scripture. He says the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search it out, to find it. Because there's nothing like finding a hidden truth. You know, I don't know if you've ever, I'm not, no, you have. Everybody's lost something, haven't you? Lost something. And man, how it felt when you found it. No matter what it was, keys, something simple, something just, you. But when you found it, but you normally had to really search to try to find it. Well, I want to give you a truth tonight about Moses, and I need a Moses. Zach, why don't you be my Moses tonight? You've been to Nashville up there messing around, and so you come back on a Wednesday, didn't know you were going to be Moses, did you? This is very contemporary Moses here. That's your stick. Why don't you stand about right there? Now, you got to face me. I'm
perfect.
Yeah. I don't just face me the whole time. I'm God. Okay. And we know this story, and Moses goes to this burning bush, and he walks up to it, and the Bible says that when Moses kept seeing this bush afar off, and it kept burning, and he said, I've got to turn aside and see this bush. And the reason he said, I got to turn aside and see this bush was not because it was on fire. It was because it was not consumed. There was nothing unusual in the desert for a bush like that to just ignite in fire because of the heat. It would just ignite, but it would always be consumed. But for days, months, we don't even know how long. The Bible's not clear on that. It could have been years that Moses kept seeing this bush burning, but it's not consumed. So he goes up to it, and the bush starts talking to him and says, take off your shoes, your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Now, a truth there is, take your shoes off. Not, Why take your shoes off? He says, because from this moment on, I want you to walk a little more softly. I want you to be a little more deliberate about where you're going. I want you to be a little more deliberate about what's happening in your life. And if your shoes are off, you're going to walk a little more gingerly. You're going to be a little more careful about where you're going. And then he talks to Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to go down to this place called Egypt. I've heard the cry of my people, and I want you to go deliver them. And Moses and God gets into this conversation, and Moses is pretty, wow, why me? You know, why me? Would you say that to God today if he asked you to go somewhere?
I would.
You'd say, why? And probably doubt why he wants you to do it. And the biggest thing Moses started doubting was whether or not he had the ability, he had the goods to go do what God asked him to do. And then God said to Moses, he said, let me get to the right chapter. He says, Moses protested and said, what if they won't believe me? And listen to me, what if they say the Lord has never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is in your hand? And Moses replied, it's a shepherd's staff. A shepherd's staff. Now, what he's saying is Moses has had this staff probably for 40 years. He's been a shepherd for 40 years. They didn't change staffs. They didn't exchange rock. These were precious to shepherds, and they kept them forever. And so Moses has had this stick, this staff, this rod for at least 40 years. And so God says, what's that in your hand, Moses? He said, it's a shepherd's staff. And what Moses is saying is this, it's me. This is who I am. I'm a shepherd. This is my identity. It's been my identity for 40 years. This is who I am. And I've had this for 40 years. And so God says to Moses, throw it down on the ground. We didn't throw it down on the ground. Just throw it. Throw it. Man, you're just like the original Moses. Said, and it turned into a snake. Don't do that. And Moses jumped back. Yep. And then the Lord told him, I want you to reach out. Wait a minute. I want you to grab it by the tail. That's the tail. Wait a minute. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Yeah, it's a snake now. But now, it's back in his hand. Truth to that is this. Your gifts and your callings and who you are in your own power and strength is evil. But when you throw it down before the Lord, when you give God all you got, you hold it. It's a shepherd's staff. It's a rod of God. What was his staff became God's staff. With me? What was a shepherd's staff was now God's staff, but it was still in the shepherd's hand. But the difference is it was God's staff now. See, when God called and chooses you, all that you have and all that you are no longer yours. They're God's. But more than that, they are empowered by God. God's divine nature, we taught Sunday morning, is in you. You have his divine nature now. Every single one of us here. And then, later on, it said in chapter 14 of Exodus, they came to a place in the wilderness, the Red Sea. We know the story, but it's important we read it. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Now, I want you to pretend this is the sea. Okay? This is the sea, ocean, whatever you want to say. Over here are mountains. Over here are mountains. And over back here is the enemy. And he's fastly approaching you. The people have been complaining. They've been pulling on you. Why'd you bring us out here? And so all these people are saying, why'd you do this to me? We could have died in Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here to die? Every single one of them's looking at you like you are crap. You ain't worth nothing. You have led us out here for no reason. And they're just a pulling on you. And you, it doesn't seem like there's any way out. And the Lord says, that same staff that I gave back to you after you picked it up, I want you to raise it up over the waters. Just lift it up over the waters. That's good. And the waters divide. And everybody, now everybody's smiling because everybody's glad now. He's not complaining anymore. You got a way out. Now, the same staff that has become God's staff is the same. Now, you hold it. It's yours. Quit giving it back to me. That's what people do. I want to give back to God what God's given to you. Stop giving it to me. If I want it, I'll ask for it. All right? He's at a place, the people are at a place where it seems there ain't no way out of here. Kitty, was there ever a time in your life when you hurt so bad that you thought you'd never, ever, it ever, ever go away? It just was deep, deep pain. You ever been in a place where you hurt so bad you couldn't imagine what it feels like not to hurt? It's deep, deep pain. Now, just because it seems that way, when it seems that way, it seems that way because it sees that way. Because there's an ocean in front of you, there's mountains, the enemy's coming behind you. And it seems like there ain't no way out. Well, the same rod he gave Moses and told him it was his rod all the time. It's not a new rod. It's the same old rod. You've had it for 40 years. You saw what happened when I asked you to throw it down. Now that you've picked it up, I'm not asking for it back. I'm asking for you to use it for my glory from now on. I'll take your life just like you have it, just like you are. And when you give it to me, I'm giving it back to you. But I'm telling you something. You got way more than you can imagine you got. There's way more in you than you can imagine. That's in you. That same rod, which seemingly there is no way out. The same God who called you, who saved you, who brought you in, that we're so thankful for that he saved us, is the same God that's with you when you can't see no way out. You just can't see no way out. But he's still there. Next time, I got some water sitting out there on the information booth too. Everything I need is on the information booth. This next one. Make sure I go to the right one here. 17, yeah. All right. Next time, they're in a place, and there's another battle going on. And so God said to Moses, Moses, all these people are fighting. They're in a real war out here, and they're fighting a lot of people. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to take that rod. He says, Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out to fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses has commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, hold it up. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired that Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on each side of Moses holding up his hands. So his hands held steady up until sunset. You see, there's always somebody to help you when you can't do it any longer. Somebody's going to be there to help you. It's the same rod. It's in your hand. Now, they're complaining again. They're thirsty. They're all thirsty, and they're looking to you to give them something. Have you ever been thirsty? Man, I was so thirsty today. Dusty had just a little bit of water in a cup, and I was sucking it all out as fast as I could. Jet got in the car with a lemonade, and they just bought it, and I was so thirsty. I looked at Jet, and I said, "You going to drink that lemonade?" He said, "No," and he handed it to me, and I just sucked it down. I was so thirsty. Nothing like thirst. And so they're complaining about, so this is what I want you to do, Moses, okay? This is a rock, all right? Stand out there. And so Moses tells, he said, "I want you to take your staff, the one you use when you struck the water of the Nile, and I want you to strike this rock, and water will come gushing out for you and all these people. Strike it. See that?" And you get, y'all knew I was going to do that. See, when you, it's the same rod that he placed in you, he's there all the time. And when you think you're just so thirsty and there's just no way out, the rock is Christ. And you just take the rock and you go to Christ. And you know what? Some significant things going to happen. And then one more rod story. There was a time that Israelites were getting upset and wondering who was in charge, who was in control. Some thought, maybe it's my time. And so Moses said, "Why don't you go get 12 of these?" Well, we can't illustrate that because we ain't got but one. "Why don't you get 12 of these, one for each tribe?" And I need 12 people up here right quick. Will, you can stand right here. Dusty, right here. Come on, Keith and Penny and Joel and Linda and come on, just give me 12 people up here. Somebody count them for me right quick. 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Need 3 more. 10. 2 more. 11, 12. Need 1 more. David. All right. Now, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one of them has one of these, okay? So I want you to imagine each one of these tribes having one of these. Yeah, just hold it like Will's doing. See, Will's playing the game. And you're holding it out. So this is what I want you to do. It's the Ark of the Covenant right here. And we're going to take these 12 rods, and we're going to lay them down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Y'all lay y'all's down too. Everybody see them? You got to have some imagination on this one. Moses said, "I want you all to go back to your tribe, and in the morning, we're going to find out which tribe is going to be the priesthood. So y'all go back to your tribes. You can even go too, Moses. I'm done with you." And so they got up the next morning, and the priesthood that God was going to use when he came back, this rod had buds all over it and flowers and blossoms. It was the same rods. And that's how the priesthood was chosen. That's how Aaron became the priest. Because God caused his rod to blossom. And see, that's what God wants us to do. He called us priests. And he wants our lives to be budding. And it's the same rod story. It's the rod that's from the beginning of your life to the end of your life. And in between that, there are going to be times when you're going to be so thirsty, but you're going to be satisfied. There are going to be times you're going to seem like there ain't no way out of this, but you're going to get out of it. You're going to get out of it. There are going to be times when you may hurt more than you could ever imagine hurting. You may think that you're going to feel at that moment the pain will never go away, but the pain is going to go away. If I took time tonight to have testimony, there'd be so many people here would get up and tell their testimony. Well, God chooses people, and in Ephesians 4, Christ descended, then he ascended. While he was ascending, he gave gifts to men. He chose apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and he gifted them. But he only gifted them to do certain things to gift other people. And he gifted them so that the whole body could be one, that the whole body would be unified, that the whole body would, let's just read. I know it's, this is, got to just read. These gifts he gave, this will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the fullness and complete standard of Christ. What he is saying is this, that in any local body, in any local church, as the ministry goes forth and as people are receptive of it and receive it and mature, that we become the full measure of Christ. You just got to think about that for a moment. So I started with this rod thing. I started to go from the... See, there's no little people. There are no little gifts. There are no insignificant people in the body. None. Everybody. And so... fivefold ministry, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, all therefore is so that we all experience the same thing. You see, in the old covenant, it was a Moses or a Joshua or an Elijah or an Elisha or some man or some woman that God raised up at some given time. Some significant things transpired. In the new covenant, New Testament, he says everybody's got the rod now. Everybody has got the equipment. Everybody is gifted with the same. And it's all as we come together with it and as we grow in it and we mature in it, we become this full measure of Christ. And we won't be children tossed to and fro. We won't be deceived. And we'll grow. As every part grows, so the whole body is healthy and growing in love. And what I want you to hear in closing with that tonight is just simply this. There's no little people here and no special big people here. We're all the same. We're all the same. The rod is given to us all. I have the same right to pray for people. I have the same right to lay hands on the sick and they see them recover. Have the same right to speak blessings and wholeness and health over people's lives. Have the same right to come to the high priest at any time. All of us have the same privilege, the same right to do that. And I'm not going to do it this moment. I'm going to give a few moments to just allow the Spirit to move. But what I want to do in closing tonight, I want to do this. I want you to see how you can. And everybody doesn't have to participate in this. If you're a guest with us tonight, maybe it's just don't want to embarrass you or anything. But what I want you to see tonight is how easily you can experience the river of God flowing out of you to somebody else and touch somebody's life and minister to them and bless them. And it's just because it's here. Because it's in you. But if you're here tonight and you've never, ever had a prophetic word spoken over you, I want you to just lift up your hand for a moment. If you've never had a prophetic word, Shane, come on down. She never had one? Come on. Just stand right here, Shane. Right here, darling. When all it takes to bless somebody is to want to bless somebody. Before God called me into the prophetic ministry years ago, I just wanted it. Anybody ever just wanted something? I wanted that. But I wanted that because what the want to of that is, I just want to bless you. I just want to speak a blessing over your life. I want to say something that's going to encourage you and lift you up. That's all a prophetic word is a word of encouragement just to lift somebody's spirits. That's all it's for. And that's not, when I say it's all it's for, I'm not trying to sound that insignificant with that because that's very important. How many know it's very important to be encouraged? I mean, everybody needs to be encouraged. And all I have to do to give this man his encouraging word is want to. If I got the want to, then that's all that has to happen. And so, Shane, I want to encourage you. In all of your life, from the time you was a child all the way up and through time that There were times in your life where you really registered tonight with seemingly ain't no way out. Seemingly, I'm never going to have what I want. Seemingly, I just can't see myself getting to this certain place. And the Lord wants you to know tonight that just as you've seen it come through these other times, you're going to continue to see it come through over and over and over again. And just like over the last couple of years, you've been kind of pillar to post and you've been here and there. But you see, it was in places where it seemed like. And you can trust the God who has continually taken care of you, continually put you in this place and that place and this place. And it's God that's doing all that, not for us, not for this, it's for you. It's so that you come to that place of fully being confident in who you are in God. And over this next 6 months, there's going to be rise a real confident spirit in you of who you are. You've had some real battles with your confidence over the last couple of years. There have been times when it was really up here, but it seemed like when it was here, it'd be dropped to here, and it was kind of like felt like a yo-yo, up and down, and up and down, and up and down. But there's that yo-yo experience is going to stop, and you're going to experience just a confidence of who you are in God. You see, that same rod has been with you all your life. The same God has been with you all your life. And now you're at a place where you're going to realize who you really, really are. It's one thing that we taught Sunday morning to have the gnosis knowledge, but it's something else to have an epinosis. And epinosis is you got the reality of it. You've experienced it in such a great way. You have that relationship, and you know that you know that you know. And I want to encourage you to start saying to yourself every day, the rod of God is in my life, and it's been there all my life. Maybe I'm just becoming aware of what that rod's really for, of what it's really, really for. You know, as I mentioned Kitty Sunday, but I wanted to say it to every single player, every singer. We have a gnosis knowledge of you playing. We have a gnosis knowledge of some people singing, and we enjoy it, and we reflect, and we worship. But people who can really do it have an epinosis. What's happening in them is coming to a total different understanding, because what they're experiencing is something totally different. And I want you to rise in confidence of who you are, and know this rod's been with you all your days, all your life. And you know what? He's not taking it from you. He'll take it from you for a moment so you'll see what it is without him. But once he picks it back up, it places it back in your hands, it's yours forever. He'll never take it back from you. He just wants you to use it to open the way, to get the water, to see the blossoms in your life come forth, to see all those good things transpire. Amen. You're a good man. You're a weird man, but you're a good man. I just love you. You're just special. And I know you went to that camp, and God did a lot of neat things inside of you. And he spoke to you. And he's brought out where you're headed and where you're going. And there's going to be some significant things that happen to you this year. And here's what you need to do as they begin to unfold, because they're hidden truths that's going to leap out. And what other people will be seeing and hearing and reading, you're going to see it and hear it and read it in a total different light, because you're going to see through that all much more than what they're seeing. You're going to see the gems. You're going to see the jewels. You're going to see the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. And walk real softly. Don't hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Just take your time and know that nothing ever comes about in haste. Nothing good ever comes about by charging and rushing. It's that deliberate steps that you're going to be taking. And you walk with those deliberate steps every day of your life. And this is for not just her, but for several other people. This is for a lot of people, okay? Listen. That same aura that came from Peter when he walked by people, it says, and his shadow healed them. It was the aura of his presence, of who he was in Christ, that healed them. And there are people you're going to go by, and you're going to walk by, and you're going to influence them in such a way they're going to be healed. You'll never know it, but that's okay. God knows it. And so never take your gifts and your callings for granted. Cherish. Just as you cherish your mom and dad and cherish what they did for you many, many years ago and how they adopted you and brought you to this country, as much as you cherish that, cherish your adoption of God into His family. If you'll take what you feel here and transfer it here and have that same gratefulness and cherish that relationship, it's when the budding and the blossoming is going to really come forth. Because there's a I'm real cautious and careful when I give guidance words. I believe they're such, and we can do that. But you're going to know. I think you've had some real seeking questions about your future and what God wants you to do. And just lay that aside, okay? Because this is what's going to happen, is over the next while, the rod that you have will blossom. And when you see the blossoms and you see the roses and you see that coming forth, that was what will tell you what you're to do. Okay? It will, y'all getting this? Y'all getting, you'll know it because you'll see it. And you'll see it in your life. I found out a long time ago, do the thing that God's blessing, and you'll be blessed. I mean, that's for you. Do the things that God is blessing, and you'll be blessed. When you see those things blooming in your life, well, that's it. That's it. That's and so you're going to know that. And the school journey is just a journey to get you spiritually where God wants you to be and God's called you to be. And I might could say a little more, but I'm not. I'm going to leave it right there, and because you're going to know. You're going to know. Hey, man, what's your name?
Robert. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. This is the first time here?
Second time.
Glad you had the boldness to just step up here. And you know Christ?
Yes, sir.
All right. I just bless this young man. Robert, is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Bless him in Christ's name. I bless him, Lord, that he had the gumption just to step up here and want to hear your voice. The Lord's already spoke to you tonight with this rod thing, and there was some things happening in your spirit just leaping up. You've been to some times real recently where you thought, oh man, man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. And those are the times when you see it's all God. See, nobody could get that water out. Nobody could part that sea. You could call on all the people in the world you could call on, and nothing's going to happen. You got all the dump trucks you want, and you could go and dump all the water out of that ocean you want to, and that water line's not going to recede one inch. And see, it's those times in our life when God really wants you to just step back and let God do it. And every time we get our hands and we try to do it, God can't do anything. And what's happening, he just wants you to take that he has brought you to where you are, give it to him, totally to him. So the scripture in Peter says, casting all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And you just cast these cares on the Lord and watch and see what happens. Watch and see how he all things begin to just come together. Here's a scripture that talks about all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose, and it's so real. It's so true. And God's got a call and a purpose in your life. And where you've been is not where you're going. And what you've gone through has only been to strengthen you and to bring you to a place that's going to be a glorious place, an awesome place. It's the new avenues opening, new relationships opening. Some old things are going to go away, and a lot of new things are going to be opened up. But I just see, you know, there's a misnomer in Scripture that, you know, it says one door closes, another door opens, and da 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 and da da this, and you know that God opens doors. We open doors, and we close doors. God will tell you what doors to close and what doors to open. That's all we have to go by. If we listen, we'll know what doors to close. If you'll listen to God, you're going to know what doors to close. Okay? It's a still, small voice. It speaks to you. I was playing golf Friday, and I was picking up some golf balls laying on the side of the woods, and I came to this bush, and there's a bush there, and there's this golf ball just teed up in there, just setting up so pretty. And I walked over to it, and my intuition said, don't pick it up. Don't grab that ball. And I did anyway. And it came out. When I grabbed the ball, I heard some shh, shh, just like that, just shh. And started walking around, looked down. I had two blood marks. So I figured, oh, that's a snake bite. So I told Will, I said, I think I just got bit by a snake. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. And so I told him and Alan, I said, you know, we'll just watch it. They said, well, we ain't got but two more holes to play. They didn't get snake bit, you know. But we watched it, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't a real venomous snake, but all of them's got something in them. I mean, there's a little swelling and a little. But the thing was, why did I not listen? You know what? I just wanted that ball. That was kind of stupid, wasn't it? But there's intuition God gives us. God's given you real intuition. You got some. You're a deep thinker, aren't you? Yeah. Saying that in a cautious way. It's good. That's real good. Use it though in the right way. Use it in a good way. Deep thinkers, we call in fantasy football the analysis of paralysis of the analysis. Sometimes they analyze their players so much and get so concerned who they're going to drop and pick up, they get paralyzed and can't do anything. So I don't want to say that to you, but anyway, you're a good man. I see. God wants to use that mind of yours. You're a bright fellow, and God wants to use it always.
I just saw, and I've never really spoken this over to anyone, there's just a fire in your bones, and that I don't even know that you know it's there. Maybe you do. And I know when Dad was saying that what you've gone through is to strengthen you, but I want to encourage you to study the scriptures, because sometimes, you know, when people read the word, they don't really understand it, or they don't, it's dull to them, or they don't really, but when you read the word, it's going to come alive to you. It's going to be, it's going to become alive, and it's going to fuel that fire in your bones, and it's going to, you'll start seeing, this is the strength that Dad's talking about, to strengthen you. But you are not your past. You are not your past. You are not who people say you are. I don't care who has said or spoken things over your life. You are who God says you are. And that God says that you are mine. And I have a purpose and I have a plan for your life. And I have put a fire in your bones. And you seek me. And when you read my word, it's going to become alive in you. And you'll know exactly what you're called to do and what your purpose is. And this other stuff that seems so heavy and that seems so hard. Susan Woodward spoke, she's sitting back there, spoke over my life years ago in a really difficult time in my life. And she said, you're going to look back and you're going to see it was a bump in the road. And I remember thinking to myself, there's no possible way that this hard time in my life, this difficult darkness would be a bump in the road. But I look back and it's a bump in the road. You're going to look back on what seems like such darkness and such pain, and because of the fire that God's put in your bones and his word alive in you, you're going to look back and know that it was a bump in the road.
Amen.
But God's got good things. You are not your past. You are not who people have said you are. And God says you are mine, and you are holy, and you are made righteous. You are made right standing with God. And he loves you.
Yeah.
He loves you. There's good things.
Amen. I want y'all to stand. And I want you guys to come up just a little more. Just here. I want you just come and stand up here. I need you. I just need to feel your presence. I need your body ministry. Change some things that God's going to say to you. I don't like to, when I feel, start struggling with a word, I stop because I don't want to go there without him. And it's not anything in you, okay? It's timing. And so I just felt kind of, when I got through with you, confused. And if I felt confused, I thought, well, he may be confused too. So I didn't want to leave it there. And I just want to let you know that there was some things were said that was important, but there's more to be said, and timing is going to be the key to it. So I just want you guys just to release your faith and your grace, your spirit, we're all in this thing together. And when I read Ephesians today and took that rod thing, and God just told me to go to that wonderful passage in Ephesians that talks about such a glorious church and how important the body is, how important it is to for the body to grow and mature and everybody's gifts. Just, you know, there's no little people here at Eagles Way Church. None. Short, but they're not little. But don't be afraid to get out of the boat. You never get out of the boat like Peter did without some questions, without some fears. He was human just like us. He himself said, and we talked about it Sunday morning, same faith that I have, same grace is in me, it's in you. And the same Peter that had the faith to get out of the boat is the same Peter in you, same faith in you that he had to do that. Well, he didn't jump out of there going, hot diggity dog, man, this is something. I guarantee you there was some, wow, this is scary. Just because it's scary, just because it's not quite sure what it's like. You ever walked on water? Don't know what it's like. Peter hadn't either. He didn't know what it was going to be like. And you don't know what it's going to be like, but you're going to know that you're going to walk on the water, but you're going to have to get out of the boat. And you're going to be glad you did. And Christ is always going to be there. You're a water walker. You're a guy who's going to face some situations like we all face, but you're going to face it with... There were 12 of them in that boat. There's 12 of them in there. Only one of them said to Christ, "Let me come to you." And you're a water walker. Water walkers are not walking waters to entertain people. They're not there to do great feats and somebody go, "Wow, he's so wonderful." It's for you. It wasn't for the other disciples. Matter of fact, there wasn't anything said in that passage of Scripture or anywhere else where anybody got anything out of that but Peter. Those other disciples had nothing to do with them. Wasn't a lesson for them. There was not anything in Scripture that they learned out of it. Other than Peter couldn't swim. But you know, it wasn't for them. It was for Peter. And there are going to be some moments and times in your life when you're going to be that Peter. And you're going to hear the Lord say, "What about them? It's not about them. It's about you. It's all about you." And I've always liked you since the first time I met you. Always felt a kindred spirit, even. You remind me a lot of me. You're a weird thinker sometimes. Yep. I know how that feels. And but God uses those weird thinkers. I used to doubt my gifts and doubt this or that. The rod God I had all those years, same rod I got now. Rod's never changed. Been used in different manners, in different ways, in different times. And it's okay to be a little weird thinker. And God used me pretty good with that weird thinking. He really has. You'd be amazed when I sit and study Scripture how I get what I get. It's I don't even know how that happened. It's weird. I'll be preparing two or three things at one time, and just crazy. I wish this wasn't that way. Then I realize that's who I am. So I'm just going to do what I do with what I got. That's the rod I got. Amen. Anybody hear that? That's the rod you got. And then you can do nothing else you can do. I wish sometimes I had another rod. But then I don't really. It's the one I'm supposed to have. And it does all it's supposed to do. Opens Red Seas, quenches my thirst, brings me to things I think I never get through this, but I get through it. That mean anything to you?
That means a lot to me.
All right, good. Sometimes you just don't know.
I just had like the exact same thing that he said. So I was just gonna say that before he talked to Elliot, I was thinking the exact same thing about awful people up here. So just to affirm that. But to add 2 points to that, I've said, I think I've said up here, and I've said I know in meetings with some of the staff that two of the biggest things that I learned about Eagles Way is that I get here is the willingness and the ability to always change and to grow, and that. That's great, and that you get to learn things from your mistakes, and you get to learn things, and you get to learn beyond the things. And also that we get to stand on the shoulders. We talk a lot about growing and, you know, being in your 20s and being in college and going through job changes. And I think a lot of times we think the scriptures that, you know, talk about that you get to grow and that you can stand on the shoulders of people before you. We think of just directly our parents or just the people like immediately in our life. And what's cool right now is that y'all get to turn around and that all these people that you're standing on their shoulders. So you're standing on the shoulders of, you know, people that have survived cancer and people that are doctors and people that have owned businesses and people that have gone bankrupt and people that are really good sports athletes and people that clean houses really well. That means that you get all that. That doesn't mean that you are just standing on top, you know. That means that that is an outlet that you actively get to partake in. So stepping outside of the boat sometimes, or being able to change or looking forward, a lot of times means standing on the shoulders. And you've got 50 people behind you right now that have stood on lots of shoulders before and are willing to always grab your hand and hold that. So whether you know these people behind you or not, and I don't know some of them, so that's true, but I know that every person back there will hold your hand and would allow you to stand on their shoulders, and you get to learn from their mistakes, and you get to learn from their successes and their willingness to jump out of the boat and do things. So just because you're young, just because you haven't figured out what it is, neither have I, it means that you just get to keep on jumping and see what happens. And that you're at a place and you're in a body that allows that. And that's amazing. And that's something to be thankful for. If you wake up, you know, I was listening to a podcast recently and they were saying that you get two miracles every day. You get to wake up and you get to go to sleep. So you have to view it that way. If nothing else, you've got a body right here that would take every one of your successes and every one of your failures and hold you up. So don't be scared to do anything because you got us.
It's good.
This is my boo girl right here. How old were you when you called me, when you jumped out from behind that? You remember that? Yeah, we were on vacation. She jumps out from behind a door. And she didn't scare me. But I've always called her my boo girl ever since. But I don't know if you realize how special you are. And if anybody tells you otherwise, I mean, don't believe it. You have a sensitivity to the spirit and to the people around you that people twice your age would beg for. And you've been through some things this year in college, this past year, and sometimes you said, why me? Why did this happen to me? And it happened to you because God allowed that, because he knows your sensitive spirit, and he knows how, he knew how you would react. You reacted just like he knew you would, because you, your sensitivity is to him. Your gift is to the people around you. And you don't know how many people you've already influenced, how many people you will continue to influence in your life, because the energy that you spill out of you is one of love and sensitivity and acceptance.
Man.
And that's your gift, that's your rod. You know, don't ever stray from that. You know, no matter what happens and no matter the things you come across and the things you go through, people are going to be people. But they'll be better people after they meet you.
Amen.
The scripture in Colossians, it says, let your roots grow deep into him. And it says that when you do, your faith will become stronger, built on the truths that are already within you. And you will overflow with thankfulness. And so I encourage you to let your roots, and you're already, like Ken said, so sensitive to the Spirit, let your roots grow deep into them. And as your roots grow deep, you won't get overwhelmed and exhausted when people come to you with their stuff, because you won't wear it. Mm. Sometimes you feel, you know, I can remember being really, really young and starting and just trying to flow in ministry, and people would come to me and I would feel drained because people would put so much and so much, until I learned that, got that concept to let my roots grow so deep in here. And you know what? My faith grows stronger and I'm not drained, because it's hard. You can't drain God within you. And you'll learn how to set healthy boundaries in the process, but still, you don't drain. So let your roots grow deep in him. You got so much good and goodness to give.
Just very quickly, what I was getting with you, I just keep saying stones, and there's just another stepping stone, stepping stone. What those stones are, they're building stones. He's building you, and he's launching you. So wherever you are, God has placed you in each place, because there's stones that's building in your life. He's building a house that is not going to crumble. He's launching you. I saw anointing, anointing, anointing. And stay open like you are, and stay as hungry as you are. But anointing, anointing, anointing on your life. I saw you going down two roads. There's a fork in the road. And you're trying to decide which way to go. And the easiest thing is go down this road that's familiar, that's comfortable, that's easy. God said, don't do that. Take the hard road. Take the road that's less travel, and he's going to do a work in your life. If you're trying to decide what to do and you think this is easier, God said, don't. Take the road that's harder, because God's building in you and God has taken you in a new direction. I saw in you, you get very uncomfortable, very antsy. It's like God says, like little birds, the mother bird has all the little baby birds in there and it has the downy feathers, and all of a sudden they begin to remove those downy feathers and it pricks the birds, making them to get out and fly. Make your decisions, because God's going to make you your leader. And just like when they said, when you feel something, you step out of the boat. And he's getting you antsy because he's removing those downy feathers from you, because he's launching you. And you hold on to that and trust what's in you. It's already there. And I love you guys too. So.
5 years ago, I walked into this place a very broken person, and people broke me. And for years, it took me a long time to realize that there was a piece of me that was worth people loving me, and that I was not broken in God's eyes. I was broken in my eyes, and that he saw me as whole. And because he saw me as whole, I was worth loving. And when I realized that I was worth loving, then I could love other people and build other people up. It's a hard road. It takes a lot, especially as a man, to be vulnerable and to be broken. I'm terrible at it. This is like the first time I've ever done this ever. No. But know that at the end of that road, the worth that you feel and the peace that you feel, knowing that you can walk this earth just like everybody else and you're worth it, it's the most amazing thing ever. And this is where I learned that. And the people around you right now are safe. And I understand what it's like to not know that. So know that this is a safe place for you.
Two quick words. Drop the sails and let God lead you and God direct you. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't think too much about it. And you're trying to figure too much out, trying to put it too many. And there are times when you just got to lay it down. Just really lay it down. I think talk to somebody about casting all their cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. He cares that much for you. Cast all those cares upon him. And he cares. Cares for everybody the same amount. Loves all of his kids the same amount. There's not one he loves more than the other. Loves us all. All. So you don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to have all the answers. Okay? They're coming. You're the type you want it. Like a lot of people, I want it now. But you're the type, you just like the real clarity of where you're going, what's happening. Real get it done person. Do list type person. You like to know what's going on, and that's all good. But there are times in the journey of faith when that just not going to happen. Abraham said, I want you to come out, Abraham. You don't know where we're going. And he never told him. Step by step, he guided him. And said he was a water walker. And you're an Abraham. It's a new time, pulling up roots, and it's a tremendous time of faith for you right now. But the God who called you is a God who will guide you and take you each step of the way. But he won't tell you the next step until he gets you there, okay? And this is not a forever, but it's a season. And Abraham finally got where he's going, and you will too. You'll get there. Be thankful and grateful for your victory and what's happened in your life. But just be grateful. Just give God thanks and praise. You can't thank him enough. And always take the high road. And let the gratitude just be gratitude. Let it just worship God with it. And be thankful and grateful for it. And, you're going to have to remember the same God, same rod, that you had along the way, when there seemed like there wasn't a way, it's been a way. And it's the same rod that's going to be with you all along, okay? And so if a bump in the road happens, remember, it's a bump in the road, okay? It's all right. I want to say this to all of you, as tonight the Spirit of the Lord just moves among us, that, you know, when you read a scripture and you talk about Peter or somebody, you take it for yourself, don't you? How many know Peter wouldn't, Timothy wasn't written to me? It was written Timothy, right? It didn't say Buren. It said Timothy. And Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, but I have gained tremendous stuff out of Timothy's book. And when you hear stuff and God speaks like this, God has spoken to you tonight, several of you tonight, a lot of you tonight, in different ways about different things that was said. That's how God speaks. Just because he's talking to one person doesn't mean he's not talking to this person. Amen? God spoke to me when I was talking to this guy. I got something from ministering to this guy that God spoke to me. So that's how he is. It's what he does. There's a prophetic anointing on your life, and it's going to rise more and more. There's only been one other person I've ever said this to, and it was a person that only person I ever saw who the fivefold ministry just flowed through. I never could call him an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. He was all of it. Only person in the Bible I knew that was Jesus. Only one other person I've ever said that to. But you have a fivefold anointing in your life that literally is a little bit of all of it. And that's where sometimes your journey gets like this. And kind of remind me of Jack Sparrow. You're just, you know, what is this going on? But there's a little bit of all that that's in your life. And you will move in your life in all five of those dimensions at different times. There'll be times in your life when you'll just be a prophet. There'll be times in your life you'll just be a teacher. Times in your life you'll be an apostle. Time in your life you'll be an evangelist. And what you at that moment, God told Paul did tell Timothy, who was to be a faithful pastor and to be a great elder in the church. But he said, "But do the work of an evangelist." You know, so. That's where this Jack Sparrow thing comes every now and then. You wonder what is going on, and it's because it's. But it's great. If you accept it, it's great. Don't try to define it all the time. It's an awesome thing. But you're rising up. You're rising up to who God has called you to be, and you got a deep heritage. A deep heritage runs deep, and. A lot to be said about that. And your granddaddy was an awesome, awesome, awesome man of God who laid his hands on me and ordained me into the ministry. And even though I've been ordained a couple of other times in different fashions, that was my initial, original ordination. And when he laid his hands on me and looked at me and said, "You're going to be Jeremiah, and the fire of God's going to burn in your soul. It's going to burn in you like it burned in Jeremiah." And I'll never forget it. He said, "There'll be times when you're not going to want to speak it, but you're going to say you're not going to even speak it, but you're going to have to, because it's going to be the fire burning in your life." And some of Thurman's going to rise up in you. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I thank you for Eagles Way Church. I thank you for a body of believers that, Lord, are open to hear your voice and to follow you. And I bless every person here tonight, God, with such tremendous grace and peace as we continue to grow in the knowledge of God, to see grace and peace multiplied to us in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, be back Sunday so you don't. And it's going to be an awesome word, I'm telling you. I've already chewed on it.